listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really happy to have with me once again Jerry Robinson. And I have Jerry because I think he is one of those people that can help us turn hard times into good times. And he is an economist. No, I don't know how many economists there are out there that can really help us turn hard times into good times, but I believe this is one that can. He's a publisher. He's a columnist. He's written. He's a conference speaker. He's written at least one book that I'm aware of that was a bestseller. Really a really nice guy. He provides actionable service, actionable ideas to his subscribers. The book I'm referring to that I'm thinking of is Bankruptcy of Our Nation, 12 Key Strategies for Protecting Your Finances in These Uncertain Times. And Jerry, thanks so much for joining me again today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to talk to you because you're one of those positive people in an otherwise dreary world sometimes, and it's good to have some sunshine and some light at the end of the tunnel. So it's good to have you here.
With a book like Bankruptcy of Our Nation, I'm glad to be grouped in the happy people.
sometimes you have to be able to recognize reality before you can become happy, I think.
Yes,
yeah. That's part of being happy, is to recognize. I mean, you can always try to deny reality, but that isn't going to get you anywhere in the future. Well, as a point of reference, people should be going to followthemoney.com, Jerry?
Yeah, followthemoney.com or FTM, like followthemoneydaily.com. Either one will get you there to the website. Yep.
Okay. Well, you have an awful lot of things that I think are attractive, will be attractive to our listeners. So I want to thank you for joining us today. I do want to ask you to critique some of our favorite stocks. Some of the sponsors of this show, one we just spoke to, Bonterra. But first, I want to ask you. I know you're very familiar in your book, Bankruptcy of Our Nation. I know you're very familiar with the dollar and how the dollar has retained its strength even after it went off the gold standard. So that's what I'd like to talk to you about first, if you don't mind. After Nixon removed us from the gold standard, the dollar was solidified by an agreement that Henry Kissinger made with Saudi Arabia to protect. Essentially to protect the power structure in Saudi Arabia in exchange for the use demand for dollars in exchange for the oil that they sold around the world. And they were able also to get most, if not all, of the OPEC nations to agree on that as well. So this allowed the United States to retain and even gain status as the world's, the dollar anyway, to gain status as the world's reserve currency. It gave us an ability as Americans to live beyond our means, as long as other nations were willing to finance and buy treasuries, we could get away with living way beyond our means, and we've done so with some difficulties, of course, 2008, 2009 being an example. But for various reasons, some of which have to do with the objection of the U.S. to power by, some of these other countries, Russia, China, Iran, some of these countries are saying, well, we're kind of tired of this dollar hegemony. And they seem to be objecting to it now to a certain extent and setting up some of their own instruments, some of their own infrastructure to compete against the dollar. But I'm wondering, what do you see with respect to the dollar's future? Are we going to have a strong dollar, a dollar that remains the world's reserve currency for the foreseeable future, or do you think there may indeed be some threat to that?
Well, admitting I have no crystal ball, I mean, putting that out of the way, I mean, there's just no way possibly to know exactly what's going to happen around the corner. But all that being said, as we look forward, we see a currency that has detached itself, as you mentioned, from gold. It has entangled itself into a wicked web of what is now a Sunni-Shia civil war in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. It's dependent upon an infrastructure that is slowly eroding as we move towards a renewable energy future, a solar energy future, away from oil, away from some of the fossil fuels. This old world that the United States has built its empire upon is crumbling. And if we think back, this is the same thing that happened to the Dutch in the 1600s, or we look back and we think about the British, who had put all of their chips on coal. And of course, mm-hmm. that blew up in their face. And then the United States, you know, dominating the oil regimes of the world and really kind of trying to strong arm this and attaching its currency to the prevailing energy source of the day. And so this has led to a lot of bloodshed. Much blood has went down the drain along with treasure here in the United States attempting to protect this. And so I think that the actions that were required to maintain the petrodollar system are actually the very actions that will cause the boomerang to come back upon us. These other nations have been suppressed to basically support our overconsumption. So we mm-hmm. are living on the kindness of strangers. Will that continue? I think it will continue until it can't continue. But if you look at if you look at Saudi Arabia, there's been a lot of geopolitical tensions over there, and you know what they're talking about now, of course, is the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Mm-hmm. So you listen to that name, Jay, Mohammed mm-hmm. bin Salman. You listen.
Yeah.
How many syllables is that? Is that too hard to say? Mohammed, that's three. Bin Salman. So there's six syllables. Same number of syllables that you would find in Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is if you listen to the Western press, and this gives me a sense that the West is fully still in cahoots with Saudi Arabia and has not fully decayed in its relationship, is the fact that the West has adopted a new name for Mohammed bin Salman. It's MBS. MBS is what they're calling him in the press, which basically means that they're not calling him Mohammed. Very important that the American people don't try to trust a man named Mohammed. After all of the things that have happened here in the United States, it's very obvious that would not play very well in the Western media. So they're calling him MBS, which is very Western friendly.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I hadn't been aware of that, actually, and it's a bit of propaganda, isn't it? It would seem.
It's another example of the propaganda. So now, you know, if you listen to the press or look at the New York Times or look at the Washington Post or Fox News, he's MBS. It's interesting though that he has cracked down not just upon the religious core of his country, which is there remains to be seen how well this will go, because I think the U.S. dollar really hinges upon two things. Some suppose that Saudi Arabia could turn to China and Russia and would simply say to the United States, we no longer want to have relations, or we're choosing China over you, or this or that. That could certainly happen. We could certainly see something like that happen. But there's also the threat of a total a rebellion within the belly of the beast of Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. And if you have a total overthrow of the House of Saud, that could also really do a lot of damage to the petrodollar system, because that would entangle us, of course, in a war. So there's all different kinds of ways this cookie can crumble. But the petrodollar system, I don't see it lasting, you know, too terribly much longer, and I don't think the U.S. dollar will remain the world's reserve currency for the next decade or two. I think we'll probably see the eclipse of it eventually very soon.
It's very interesting what you were saying about turning to Russia. Possibly, I think for the very first time, the king of Saudi Arabia, the bin Salman, actually visited Russia. It's my understanding as well that he's had cozied up a bit to the Chinese, and that China is Saudi Arabia's largest customer, China would like to get paid not in dollars but in yuan. And if Saudi Arabia doesn't want to go along with that, well, it can, of course, and it can buy gold. It can exchange yuan into gold in their exchange. They have in Shanghai a gold exchange there now in yuan. And so it's sort of interesting what seems to be happening. Some of these things seem to be turning. We, of course, you would know better than I that we're, producing more oil in the United States. We buy less from Saudi Arabia than we used to. So some of these economic fundamentals would seem to be possibly in play here along the lines of what you're talking about, for sure.
Yeah, and I think also with Saudi Arabia, you mentioned earlier that I was a bit on the rosy side on some things. I think on this particular issue, I'm not as convinced quite yet that Saudi Arabia has fully gone to the China-Russia table solely. I think they're trying to play all sides and seeing how far they can get. And if you take a look at the Trump administration's entanglement with the House of Saudi, even today, with Jared Kushner over there brokering peace deals with Israel, that has already begun. And so we're seeing Saudi Arabia actually put aside its differences with Israel on a few fronts and move together towards some sort of peace deal with Kushner at the head. And I think, I think this also could play out, and this could also be, a move closer to the U.S. So I'm not convinced that we're at the very edge. It could be, but I'm not fully convinced yet.
Yeah, good point. Well, let's say that, you're a technical analyst, and we want to get to some of your skills and talk about some of those things in a few minutes, but do you look at the dollar from a technical point of view? And if so, what are you seeing, just putting all aside these fundamentals?
Yeah, the U.S. dollar, we've been tracking that chart. That chart is so fundamental, whether you're just a gold investor or even if you're just a stock investor, it's just good to know where the dollar is. So we keep track of that for all of our members, and we have that on our website as well. Now, the U.S. dollar, if you go back to 1990, the major, major support is about 93.50. And right now we're hovering at around 94.30. So we're just kind of right above major, major, major support. We really saw the dollar surge greatly into the Trump victory, but then it immediately collapsed. And we've seen it still hovering around that $94 area. So right now, we're certainly not bullish on the dollar. We've actually been bullish on the Chinese yuan. We've been buying the euro and Bitcoin as well. As much of anathema as that is to some people, we've been buying that as a currency too. It continues to be one of the best performing currencies.
Yeah, interesting. Well, let's say that, obviously if the dollar breaks, it could have quite an impact on the lives of Americans. If the dollar breaks to the downside, what sort of lows? I mean, we had some real lows back in 2011 or so, I think, 2010. Where did it get into the 80s or 70s or someplace then?
It got down into like 72, just barely above 70 back in 2008. And that was, of course, very, very painful. I mean, if we think about what the worst-case scenario is for the dollar, and this is the absolute worst, let's say Saudi Arabia does yank the rug out from underneath the United States. Mm-hmm. Let's say suddenly that there is no more excessive demand for U.S. dollars around the world, and suddenly the yuan somehow supplants it. You know, what that means, basically, is that our problem will be that foreign nations would begin sending a flood of U.S. dollars back to the United States in exchange for the new currency that they need for oil. And so you have this flood of U.S. dollars coming back. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Fed would then, by default, lose its ability to print more money to solve America's problems, because now there's too much money. And so now they would find themselves in a deflationary defensive position, posture. And this is one of the worst possible things that could happen. So I think the way that, as individuals look out and they see this U.S. dollar, they're worried about Saudi Arabia, they see the potential of a dollar collapse in the future. I think the thing to remember is that the most important thing is to have a plan. I mean, here's what's going to happen when that does happen, Jay. Mm-hmm. The clueless American public is going to demand answers, and the left is going to blame the right. The right's going to blame the left. The both political parties will blame the Fed. But people will get crushed. People with adjustable rate debts, people with high interest rate payments – asset prices would plummet underneath this situation. So it's just not a good situation at all. You know, when we look forward.
No, it's not. And then, of course, the question is, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
What should we be doing now, right? I mean, obviously, the people that listen to this show know that the dollar or any fiat currency has a limited life, and that it is, that it isn't that gold and silver gain value relative to those currencies, but those currencies lose value. So one way is, we're always telling our listeners in this show to exchange, put their savings, especially in a zero interest rate environment like we have now, put some of them at least into gold and silver. I'm sure you don't disagree with that.
Oh, no, of course not. And I think that's, I think when you find yourself in a situation like we are today, where we have $20 trillion of national debt, we have a GOP now that suddenly has lost its Tea Party, so suddenly now it doesn't matter how much you spend. You have a Democratic Party as well that's willing to keep digging, you know, the grave. And so we have this system that is just moving further and further towards a brick wall. The solution is basically twofold: education and then action. And the education, I think, are things like this, your show, the things that you're doing right now, you're bringing people on, talking about real things that matter. And when you think about the petrodollar system, if you want to learn more about that, of course you can read it in our book, Bankruptcy of Our Nation, but you can also read a good excerpt on our website, ftmdaily.com/petrodollar. Go there and educate yourself on this topic. And then when it comes to actually taking action, what is very important is that, as you mentioned, you do have a few things going on. A, you need to have protection. You need to have protection against what could happen. Most people are not prepared for the lights to go out. They're not prepared for the grocery store to stop selling food. They're not ready for anything, Jay, because they live in a city and everything is brought to them. We live in total luxury today. So it's very important that we reinstill within our communities the idea of simple putting a seed in the ground and planting a piece of food or raising a chicken. I mean, we have lost touch with nature, but we exploit it on a daily basis for pleasure and profit. It's kind of immoral. But the other thing is that it's very important for us to, as you mentioned, take the resources that we do have and spread them around. We talk about PACE, precious metals, for P, agriculture, A, C, commodities, E, energy. Those are great places for a hyperinflationary kind of time. So PACE is one thing to think of. Precious metals is good. I know, as I mentioned earlier, I know this is a little controversial, but I also believe that Bitcoin will be a major winner in the next major collapse because, and this is because it's a major important thing, is because it is perceived to be outside of the banking system, and therefore it would be viewed as something that could be a store of value. I think we'll see that as well. So I think it pays for people to be diversified, have some,
absolutely,
always have some dry powder.
Absolutely, Jerry. You know, I'd just like to mention gold money, which is now combined with Bitcoin and one of the other cryptocurrencies. I think the combination of the two to be able to, you know, to transfer wealth into a store of value wealth like gold or silver. I just mentioned that as a passing remark. And, Jerry, we're just about out of time already. We only have 2.5 or minutes or so left to go. I wanted to ask you if you would take a look at the chart, because you are such an excellent chartist. Bonterra Resources, who we just talked to, and then I'd like to ask you about Novo Resources as well. Tell us what you see with Bonterra now and then what you see with Novo Resources.
Yeah, Bonterra, B-O-N-X-F. It's really got a lot of volume starting in 2017. We look at price and volume, and volume right now is really good on Bonterra. It's moving up nicely. It looks like all year long it's been in a nice uptrend. It's a little overbought right now. But right in the, if it pulls back to about 40 cents, that would probably be an ideal place. That's really strong support. On the other stock that you had mentioned, which was the other one that you had mentioned?
Novo Resources.
Oh, Novo Resources. Yeah, that one is NSRPF.
Yes, correct.
That one, we detected a new uptrend in Novo. We have a trading system, and our trading system identified a new uptrend in Novo on July 11th. It came amid very heavy volume on a 200-day moving average breakout. And it's just now, right now, as we're speaking, it's pulling back to its 50-day moving average for the very first time. So from a technical perspective, this is a really ideal time for swing traders or maybe even some shorter-term position traders to be stepping in and possibly buying it between here and up to about $6 if you're bullish on the stock.
All right, Jerry, we've only got a minute, so I want people to know that that you provide some free stuff that they can get and try your letter, right? Would you please explain that to people? Because you have so many different things that you offer. We didn't have time to get into that, but we will do it sometime in the near future.
Oh, sure.
I see you also send a trading idea, I think, almost every day, don't you?
We do, yeah, by email. So if anyone's looking for actionable trading ideas, whether it be in commodities, energy, precious metals, agriculture, global ETFs, we love ETFs. We like to provide actionable ideas. We also have a trading software. I coach you on the software. So if you need help to learn how to trade, you know, we're here to help. So the people can find all that information. Plus, we have a free membership. They can try things out. They can go to ftmdaily.com/subscriptions, and there they'll see all of the different plans and pricing, from the free plan all the way up to the, you know, to the big VIP plan, where we provide everything, including 2 times a week coaching.
All right. Thank you very much, Jerry. It's really a pleasure talking to you. We're out of time, unfortunately. We'll have you back again sometime in the near future. Well, folks, that is it for this week. Alistair MacLeod will be with us next week to talk about how cryptocurrencies may destabilize our existing dollar-centric international monetary system. Should be a very interesting discussion. I hope you'll join us next week. Until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.